that's how the world, that's how love develops in the world, you know? They have same interests, right? Oh, I like to go for long walks in the rain, and he likes to go for long walks in the rain. And I like the color blue, and he likes the color blue. And we both love to watch this show and that show, and our favorite actors are gay, and... Now, for people in the world, those might be very good. You know, having a lot of common interests can be a, you know, a great indicator of compatibility. I judge my compatibility with other people on a different scale. Because, remember, part of the mystery is that we would all be joined in one body, which is Christ, as the sons of God. You know, not as just we are Gentiles, they are Jews, and no, that we would all be knit together in one. And also that, you know, we had really covered that, you know, that through his cross, you know, he would reconcile us through in the body of his flesh through death and present us holy and unblameable, unreprovable, even perfect to God. So in whom are, it's interesting, like he said, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That's one mystery. Though there are many aspects, many things, mysterious things around mysterious. Means things that have been revealed but are now, well, that were once hidden and now are revealed. That's a mystery. Because things that are hidden and not revealed, there's no point in talking about it. That's not even a mystery. That's unknown. But I want to, there's a verse coming up that I think is interesting, and I'll look back at this verse, the end of the verse 2 here in a moment. But notice there's a distinction. The Father and Christ and God, whatever, you know, what's that mean? Verse 4. Well, wait, I want to, before I go to verse 4, cover verse 3, look at, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hid. Now, God does hide wisdom from the wicked. It says, if he had not hidden the wisdom from the men who were in charge of Christ's, you know, crucifixion, if he hadn't hidden that wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified him. And God does hide wisdom. But this word hid can be taken in a sense of treasured up. You know, all the treasures are treasured up in him. They're gathered together in one place. Verse 4. What I'm saying is, they are not completely hid. They are available to us, who are the called according to his purpose. That's all I mean. They're treasured up to him, and he gives them to whom he will. He does hide them from some, but to we who are his sons, he freely gives. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, there are all kinds of enticing words out there. All kinds of persuasion. All kinds of persuasive speech. In fact, that's literally what that means. Persuasive. And the same word that's used for... The same word that's translated faith, at least from the root idea of the word, is entice here. It means enticing or pitho language, you know, which is means language that would cause you to have faith in something. You know, they'll make you beguile you. What is beguile? To misreckon, to delude. You know, it really means to cause to have a false estimation, a false judgment of what the truth is. And this is, he's saying this and the things he's saying because he wants to prevent this. He's saying, because though I'm not there personally, I am with you in the spirit. I remember reading a modern book and they said, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. You know, they said, I'm with you in spirit. And he mocked it. I thought, that's a pretty funny thing to say. It was that big, that, you know, that saddleback guy. The guy who sold millions of books. He's saying, oh, well, with you in spirit, that doesn't mean anything if you're not literally here. Paul knew that too. It was greater to be there than to not be there. But still, he's saying, I am with you in spirit. How? Prayer. Thought. And to discount that is folly. Say, oh, well, if you're not literally here, then you don't count. You know, that's what I heard this guy saying. This big minister guy, big fat guy. You know? He's saying, well, it doesn't mean nothing. It does mean something. Now, people can say it, just say, oh, I'm with you in spirit, and it does mean nothing, because they're not actually with you in spirit. To be with someone in spirit is to be in the spirit, praying on their behalf, or in the spirit, thinking on them. And Paul is saying, I have a great conflict. I mean, what he means is, like, I have an internal struggle. You ever have that where you just, I mean, I could think of a lot of worldly examples, like, oh, my car, you think of, there's this conflict. Well, should I do something about it now, or should I wait and see? What am I going to, and there's all these thoughts in the mind turning over. What should you do about something? And for him, it was the Colossians. I really want to see them, but I'm in prison. I mean, am I going to get out? And Lord, what do you give me direction here? And so he was with them in spirit. Joying and beholding your, because it wasn't like he was in ignorance. I mean, he had their letters. He had reports from people, whatever, but he would read or hear about them. And in that sense, by the spirit, he's beholding their order. The way in which things are going over there, the steadfastness of their faith in Christ, they're steadfast in Christ. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ, so walk in him. How did you receive Jesus Christ? There's a few times where I see receive Jesus, where they received him by the hearing of the word, by the preaching of faith. And they received it. But